and we want to make sure that our worship is glorifying to Him. And we have a story to tell,
each one of us. And we've been talking. Hello, hello, hello. There, okay. We've been speaking about our stories over the last couple months. Just that God gives you a story. God doesn't ask me to tell Tim's story or Sonny's story. God asks me to tell my story. He says, you got to tell Stan's story. Tell a story about your redemption and how God saved you. And that's a story we have to tell. And so from time to time, we hear a testimony or a story from different people here today about what God has done and how He's changed lives. And that's important because there's some of you here today who are wondering about this. You're wondering about the story. You're wondering about when it's going to be your turn. And when's it going to be my story? When is Jesus going to touch me? When do I need to make that decision? When am I going to belong? Maybe you're wondering about that. When do I get to belong, you know, to Jesus? And the answer to that question is you can belong to Him anytime. He, or like Crystal prayed too. I love that prayer, by the way, you know. Just come. Just come to me. He says, come. You don't need some preacher to invite you. You don't need to watch it on TV. You just come. He says, you come to me. I am your God. I love you. You belong to me. You come, and I will be there. You can count on this. You come, Jesus says, I'll be there. You come to me, my arms will be open. I promise you. You come, and I knew you were coming anyways. You can't surprise God. You know, you come, and I'm here ready for you. And there's some of you that need to hear that today. Maybe today is a day for a new start, a day for a new beginning. It's time to put some of that old junk behind you, because you know that that old junk isn't helping you one bit. That stuff is, you know, that's not living, that's dying. It's time, some of you are so busy dying, it's time to get busy living, right? And that's what God, yeah, that's true. That's true, because I know this personally. You know, I've been busy dying for a long, long time, and sometimes you think you're living. You think, oh, this is the life, I got it all, you know. I've got life by the tail, but you're dying. You're not living. You're not living. And life, hear me today, life can only be found in the giver of life. You're not going to find life in the drugs or in the beer. You're not going to find life even in all those friends out there. There's only one place. There's only one source of life, and He is the one who said, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. And that's where our life comes from. And you've been chasing after a lot of other stuff. Maybe it's time to start chasing after God. So that's a question today, okay? That's a question today. And I'm going to try to give some more of the answers to that later. But I'm going to ask Matthias to come up because he's going to tell a bit about his story and how God has affected his life. Let's welcome our good friend. He's also the sound man and the video guy today. Like, he's doing everything. Amen. You're in charge, buddy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's all you.
I
the thing. There we go. Yeah, I wrote out my testimony. How many of you were here like a year and a half ago when I confessed my sins? And this is kind of not like that, but it's in line with it. Let me just, I wrote it out because when I don't write out things, I'm just rambling. But when I write out stuff, then I can really, here we go. I want to express my gratitude to God for the restoration project of my heart, who He has outsourced to His Son, Jesus Christ. All of my life, my heart has cried out to Jesus, from the first bully at school to even those nights where I indulged in sin and rejected my Lord over and over again. Let it be known that the mental hospital in Belgium was not able to restore my heart. They really cared about me and definitely prevented me from sinking farther into psychosis. But the mind and the heart are interconnected, and one cannot be restored without the other. Medication can help the mind, but only love is capable of restoring both mind and heart. and to bring us back to complete sanity and not just somebody that can function in a dysfunctional society. Why do people commit suicide? Because one can only go without love for so long until you hate this life that does not want to give you any love. Then believing Satan his lies becomes dangerously easy. So God used the mental hospital in Belgium to put some bags of sand in front of my temple, so the overflowing sewer of the world that the devil sails on would not do too much more damage. But when it came to real restoration, restoration of the spirit, mind, and body, God needed disciples of Jesus who are just more familiar with love and how only love can restore. God can use the world to work on you outside in, but that will only have a real effect when Jesus' Spirit is working inside out. And Jesus' Spirit will only come and work in your temple after you open the door and say things like, "Come on in," and yes, you are allowed to throw out my internet connection. After all, you are the landlord, you pay the rent, I live here for free. I am very grateful that God brought me to Canada. Even though God could have done this work in Belgium, it was me who was convinced God could not do this in Belgium and wanted to go to Canada. But then after God gave in for my sake, I just did not go to Canada. Eventually, he even had to use a girl and some mental illness to get me motivated enough to actually get on the plane to Canada. Today, I can say without a doubt in my heart that the potter is transforming my clay. I love it, but it does really hurt once in a while. God foresees this, and so he puts us in a space and time where we have friends that can comfort us, just like Jesus once comforted his friends in Israel. I'm just going to interrupt here just for a minute, because I am really extremely grateful for the great people in this church. I've been in the church now for about 2 years, and I'm just slowly getting to know so many people. And they are all unique in their ways, and they're all just there for me when I need them. And that just means, it just means the world for you. Like, I remember I came in this church 2 years ago on a Saturday, and they were performing an exorcism, and it was genuine. And I was surprised that it was genuine. And then the first Sunday, I think it was that Sunday, I was here in church, and I looked over in that corner, and I saw, like, Mary Lee's and a whole bunch of women, and I just felt love. There's just so much love in this church. That's why I come to this church, because there's love in this church. All right, I'm going to continue. Let it be known that only Jesus knows how to restore our hearts and undo the damage done by the enemy. Surely our enemy will soon be shut up for 1,000 years. The psychologists and psychiatrists and nurses in Belgium did their best, but only Jesus' Holy Spirit knows how our hearts operate, because he built them with the intention to go and live in them. And when he does, the Holy Spirit brings all his stuff. And the Holy Spirit has very sweet and fresh stuff. The Bible calls it fruit. And I want this sweet stuff, even though that means my smelly and rotten stuff will have to go. But praise the Lord, the Holy Spirit really likes to share his sweet stuff with people that enjoy his hobbies. And that's the best win-win situation in life. And you will know I speak the truth when you will taste my fruit in the future. So even a stubborn Dutch guy like me cannot cling on to his own righteousness and intellect, even though he would love to, when Jesus' his Spirit shows him there really is none. We Dutch guys, just like the Jews, really like to put up a fight with God and like to shout, "Ee-ah!" at heaven when Jesus is trying to put the saddle on. So if God wants to take my hip, like how he took part of Jacob's hip, I might have to give up being hip and cool. So be it. Better to shuffle like cripples in heaven with Jacob than to dance like drunks in the hell with the devil. A year and a half ago, I confessed my sins here in church, and that must have been very hard to listen to. Now I just want to testify that Jesus is working on my heart from the inside out, and really express my gratitude to all you men and women and girls and boys who are his laborers and are working on my temple outside in. Without you guys being obedient, I would still be crying out to God, "Please save me from myself." And I also want to mention Celebrate Recovery. They have that program at the Livingstone Church and at Crossroads. It's like AA, but AA can only work from the outside in. And we all desire something better than just a grave tomb with a new lick of paint. Of white paint, but where the skeletons inside are still dry and dead bones. Now that I can see and feel that the restoration process has begun, although the road ahead might be long, I want to finish with one last testimony. Jesus is faithful. Unlike a lot of my promises so far, Jesus is actually reliable. He keeps His promises. All of them. He heard me, His word said He would help me, and He has always helped me and carried me through life. The only way to embrace life, the only way to really live, the only way to have a living heart full of joy and a firm and constant heartbeat, the only way to have a heart that keeps on beating no matter what mud the devil throws at it, or how the devil tries to ignite the dormant or active volcano that he builds in our hearts when they were still stones. The only way is to embrace the sun with ourself and say, I don't want myself anymore. Now that I have tasted you, Jesus, take myself, Jesus, and fold it and put it in your grave next to your folded grave clothes. And give me a white robe that reflects your powerful beams of light and love. But above anything else, give me you, Jesus. You can keep me for yourself, and I will share you with everybody else that desires you. After all, you are just way too much Jesus for one person. I can share you. I can share you without missing out. My heart is tiny and easily filled. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is life and living Himself. No other life can be found on earth, in the galaxy, in our universe, or even in our entire dimension. And life on planet Earth is just too short to look for it in the wrong places. So, when I was in the mental hospital here in Canada, I had another episode where I was in for a couple of weeks, and lots of people from the church here visited me, and I quickly felt like my old self again. Before I went in, I had God show me something. He gave me something that really helped me, and I want to share that. It's not really a vision, but it's like an image. Rick knows about it. I've shared that with Rick. And this is what it is. And God made me memorize this before I went in so that when I was having hard times, I could just recall it and I could just know that this is where I am in life. I am at peace, not anxious, but in awe for God. Not cold, but curled up like a human ball. Not ashamed, but naked, a little boy, and I see myself sitting at the feet of my Father's throne. Amen. Thank you. Oh, no, that's my glasses.
Yeah, don't give me glasses.
Yeah.
There we go. I'm going to pray for you. God, wow. Thank you for the gifts that you've given Matthias. And I thank you that he is certainly part of our family.
Amen.
Part of this body. You've given him important gifts. And I thank you for the great compliment today that he feels loved here. There's no better compliment. And that many of us can attest to that. We know that we're loved. And that you love us even when we're broken and even when we're not very lovable. And that we work hard at loving each other.
Yeah.
I thank you for the image and the dreams that you give Matthias. I thank you that he's got such a gift with words and with so many other things too. So I just want to pray for your blessing on his life. I pray for a sound mind. I pray that he will be able to use his gifts to glorify you. And as he said, that he'll just be willing to continue to share Jesus. That would be true for all of us, that there's enough of you to go around. Thank you for that, Jesus. And just glorify your name in this servant. And we are excited to see the fruit of your Spirit continue to just bud and blossom in Matthias' life. And we pray a blessing on him. Let your hand rest on him, God. Let your favor rest on him from above. Let your countenance just shine, Lord. Smile upon him with that big smile on your face. You are his Father. Amen.
Thank you, sir.
And you're a free game, buddy. So that's good. We got time for just a couple of responses to that. What is God's? How is that God speaking? Ricky, you get to go first. Yep. Yep. Amen. So we say thank you, God, right? He delivers. He's my deliverer. Amen? Yeah, praise God. Yeah. It's good. Stand firm. Amen. That's good. Amen. It's a good word. That's a really good word. Brian, you've got to speak loudly because we don't have the sound working quite right today, but... Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good word. Amen. Thanks, Brian. That's good. Yeah. And that's exactly what we're talking about here today, is that we're not trying to just keep this all for ourselves. We have something to share with other people. And I know that there's some people here today, you're hungry for this. And I keep saying this, but you're hungry for this, but God's got something for you. And there's a change that can happen in your life. And you maybe came here today and you thought, oh, there's just no hope for me. You know, I've been through this 100 times. I've been to church before. You're wrong. You're not because of religion and not because of the law and not because of legalism, but because there's always hope with God. And He called you here for that purpose. And if He's laying that on your heart today and you're feeling that there's time, something's got to change today, it will change today. Amen. It takes faith. You need to, and we'll get into that in a few minutes. Kelly's going to say a couple words and I want to get into God's word. But I just want you to know that you're not here by accident today. You're here because God drew you into this place. Brother.
Yeah, when I first came to Red Deer, I went on the Jesus Walk, and I actually got to carry the Jesus Walk banner with Matthias. So I saw right away just all the gifts, right? I saw the love in him. I saw the joy in him. But when I got to know him, I got to know some of the more struggles, right? And I've worked with a lot of people with mental illness. And I believe that the devil is the tormentor, right? Like this gentleman here confessed to it, right? So what we got to do is transform our minds, right? We have to break off the patterns of this world. And I believe, you know, a lot of us want to run away from the tough work. God's call, you know, it's like Jonah. What? No, I'm not going. You know, and we're sitting in the belly of the whale. You know, Jonah sat in there 3 days in an actual fish. We don't see the fish. We don't see the belly. It might be a prison cell. It might be on the corner in the street, you know, hung over after another night of drinking and drugging. It might be fear. It might be our whale, right? Like, we just got to start breaking down the lies and capturing every thought to Jesus, right? And I believe that's what's happened with you. You captured your thoughts to the Lord, started filling your head with his word, and it sunk into your heart. And that heart, it rises, the spirit overcomes. Yeah. Yes. When it gets down here, when it comes alive in your being, right? Yes. And Matthias, you know, we've prayed together and hung out quite a bit. And, you know, he had a chance here again to make a run, just like Jonah. But you know what? He stuck it out. God's saying, don't run anymore. Stick it out. Yes. Throw it down. When you go to pick it up, throw it down again. Pick it up, throw it down. I don't know how many sins I had to pick up and throw down, pick up, throw down before I finally said I'm done, gave up, right? So just throw them down and just keep going to the Word and just keep sticking your, you know, your faith out and saying, Lord, I believe in you. You know, you're the one I love. You are the one I love. Amen. Amen. Thanks.
Good words. Yeah. Amen. Well, that's God speaking, and he speaks through his body. He speaks through all of us, and you know, there's people who need to hear that. They need to hear what Brian had to say, and I just appreciate that. There's a couple things that, you know, you don't always hear, like that Brian's a gentleman. That's good. Or this gentleman here. Or that Dutch people can be stubborn. I didn't know that either. That's good. Okay, let's read God's Word. We've been studying from Luke. We've been looking at the stories of Jesus and focusing on, you know, if there was a name for this series over the last couple of months, it's just the touch, right? That he touches me. He touches the woman who needed to be healed. And then he touches the woman who needed to be forgiven. He's a God who is personal, this Jesus. He's a God who wants to be known. He is approachable. And we see in the stories of Jesus that many times people came up to him. You know, the little children came to him and he touched them and he put them on his lap and he loved them. That he's a God who wants to be in that kind of a relationship. It's that kind of a personal, intimate God. And we're going to read that story we've been reading the last couple of weeks one more time from Luke chapter 8, verse 40. Now, Luke chapter 8, verse 40. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. Immediately. Her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. And in the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. And then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." Isn't that good? And while Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore. Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just believe, and she will be healed." And when he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She's not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." And her spirit returned, and at once she stood up, and Jesus told them to give her something to eat. And her parents were astonished. I imagine everyone was astonished. But her parents particularly were astonished and ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. Amen. Isn't that a good word? What a powerful story. And again, another example of faith. We spent some time looking at the woman in the story. We spent, I think, 2 weeks talking about the woman with that blood disorder. And for 12 years, she struggled with that blood disorder. And how last week we talked about how she was unclean and that she couldn't even be touchable herself. And yet she came up to Jesus. But in a real way, that story about the woman, even though we've kind of made that central in the last little while, that's really a sub-story here. It's the story within the story. That the real story here is a story of Jairus, and we want to spend a little time this morning looking at Jairus and his 12-year-old daughter and how he needed a miracle for his daughter. And we can understand that. If you have children, maybe you don't all have children, but you can still probably relate to this. You got a 12-year-old girl, you got a 12-year-old daughter is at home, and she's dying. You're going to do everything you can to try to get help. You'll do whatever it takes, right? She is going to die. You're going to go whatever extreme you need to go to get her the help that she needs. And it's an interesting parallel here that here we have another woman. This is only a 12-year-old girl, but the comparison between the woman who had this blood disorder for 12 years and we get this 12-year-old daughter, and that Jesus says to both of them, "Daughter." Right? He says to the woman, "Daughter, your faith has healed you." We learned that last week. And today, he says, "Daughter, your daughter, have faith." He says, don't listen to these guys. Have faith. Your daughter will be healed. We want to spend a little time on the daughter who needed to be healed today. And you go back to Mark, and like I said earlier another time, that there's a different perspective sometimes. It's the same story, but we get sometimes a different perspective from the different gospel writer. Mark might include some things that Matthew or Luke doesn't include. I like what Mark includes here when he says that the synagogue ruler, Jairus was the synagogue ruler. It means he was a pretty important person. He was an official. He led services. He was in charge of the synagogue. He was a religious leader. That he came to Jesus, and it says in Mark chapter 22 that Jairus came there to Jesus. He saw Jesus, and he fell at his feet. Now, probably that wasn't something that was looked on very kindly by a lot of other people. You know, he's a pretty esteemed man, and he's groveling at the feet of this teacher, if you want to call him a teacher. But he wasn't afraid. Jairus wasn't afraid to come to Jesus and to do some begging if he needed to. I think I'd have done the same thing if I had a 12-year-old daughter who was dying. He wasn't afraid to get on his knees. He wasn't afraid to get on his feet. We're told that Mark tells us that he pleaded earnestly with Jesus. You get that? He pleaded earnestly. I don't know what that sounded like, but I got a feeling he was grabbing onto his feet just like that woman who was a sinner. Remember her? He was holding on for dear life saying, "Jesus, please. Jesus, please. I need you. There's no one else. And I believe in you, Jesus. I know that you're the healer. I've seen what you've done in the lives of other people. Jesus, please. My daughter needs you. She's not going to make it. If you don't do something about this, she's going to die. She's not just sick. Did you hear that? She's not just a little bit ill. She's not just under the weather. She is about to die." And he earnestly pleaded. He got on his knees. He grabbed him by the ankles. "Jesus, please, I need you." And he said this, "Please come, put your hands on her." There's that touch thing again, right? He got it. Jairus understood this. He got it. "Put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." That's a powerful verse. Jesus, come, please, put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. And so Jesus went with him. That's a great example of faith. This is a great example of, and it fits in with the women. Here we got a man whose name is Jairus, and he just demonstrates such faith. He knows that His only answer here is Jesus, and maybe there's some of you here today and you're wondering about that. But it's really true. The only one who can touch you, the only one who can give you that, you know what, there's something missing. If you know there's something missing in your life, you know that it just feels kind of hollow, or you're wondering if you belong to anything, or you're wondering if your life matters at all, or if you have any purpose at all, if you're wondering those things, it's all about Jesus. It's because you're needing Jesus to give you that direction and to give you that life and to give you whatever it is that's lacking in your life and to let you know, because this is what Jesus does so well, that you belong. You're mine, he says. Come on into my arms, right? Just come into my arms. And we see that in Jairus. We see that he has this great faith in Jesus. And when I read this story, it just strikes me, you know, if I was in that situation, if I was in his situation, and I had a daughter who was really about to die, and you just watched her deteriorate over the last days, maybe the last few weeks, and you watched her get worse. And if I knew that Jesus could do something about this, and I believe that, we're told he had great faith, then I don't know about you, but I would be doing everything I could to get Jesus to my daughter as quickly as possible. Obviously, he couldn't bring his daughter to Jesus. Maybe because her health was so weak. Maybe she would have died along the way. He didn't dare, apparently. He didn't even dare take his little daughter to Jesus. But if it was me, and if it was me trying to get Jesus to my daughter, I'm telling you what, I'm doing this. I'm pushing through the crowds, and I'm making ways. Rick, get out of the way. Move it. I'm taking Jesus to my daughter. Get going, Frank, because Jesus is going to get to my daughter as quickly as possible. Right? I mean, that's what it's going to be like, right? I would be like that border collie. You know, there's like a, that's what I'd be like. There's a border collie. Just keep doing circles. Just keep on. Let's go. Let's go. Come on. Come on. Let's go. Come on. Come on. Come on. And it would be the most maddening thing, don't you think? It would be the most maddening thing that Jesus is just dilly-dallying around. He is just spending time with people. He is talking to people. He's getting interrupted. I mean, I'm trying to grab him by the arm and say, you know, Lord, just follow me. Just get in behind me here. You know, I'll be like a linebacker, right? Come on, are you coming? Let's go now. Are you coming? Are you stopping again? Do you not understand this, that my daughter is dying? She's not just sick, she's dying. Let's go. I'd want to push him if I had to. Come on, let's go. Get him in a headlock. Whatever you got to do to get him to your daughter, because he understood his daughter. She wasn't going to make it, right? He understood that. And yet, Jesus is dilly-dallying. He's walking through the crowds like a spiritual tourist, right? He's just walking around. He's sauntering. He's enjoying the people. And then we get this story within the story where as Jairus is trying to rush him along, suddenly this woman touches Jesus. She reaches down and just reaches down and touches the hem of his, and she gets healed. And Jesus goes, who touched me? Yeah, well, hang on, right? Who did that? Who touched me now? And even Peter goes, Lord, what a dumb question, you know? Who would ask that question? Jesus, everyone's touching you, right? Everyone's touching you, so let's just, you know, don't worry about that. And it's interesting because I think that while he's asking the question, really what Peter's saying is, why do you care? Jesus, why do you care who touched you? In a way, Jairus is asking the question, why don't you care? Why don't you care about what I've told you about? Why don't you care about my daughter? Why won't you get your feet moving? Why do you keep going in circles? Why are you asking this inane question? Why? Right? Why don't you care? And maybe you felt that way in your life sometimes. Jesus, why don't you care? I ask you for things and you don't do anything. I need you and I don't see you. Why don't you care? You say you're there, but I don't feel like you're there. Where are you? Why don't you care? We ask that question sometimes, right? I mean, I can relate to her. I relate to him, I should say. I can relate to the frustration. Where are you, Jesus? Where are you when I need you? Why don't you just go and get from point A to point B? Why don't you follow me, Jesus? and the answer to that's going to come in a while, right? But if you're like me, I know I've been that way lots in my life. Come on, follow me. Let's go. We got a place to go. I got people to see. I got things that need healing. Let's go, Jesus. And he's just meandering around. He's just like a tourist, you know? And the thing that I think is almost the most amazing about Jairus' faith, the thing that I think is really admirable, and I certainly wouldn't have reacted this way, but he does, is that when he gets the news, you get to that point, remember, he's all frustrated. Oh, I could, you know, you guys aren't like me maybe, but I tell you what I'd be like. I'd have been going nuts. I would have found a way. I would have grabbed them by the ears and said, Jesus, listen to me. Look me in the eyes. Let's get going. Right? And then just have people who come from Jairus' house. Mark tells us that were men who came from the temple or the house of Jairus. And they said to him, guess what? Your daughter's dead. Now, here's the most amazing thing to me, is if that happened to me, I'd have just lost it. Honestly, I'd have been so angry. I would have just, you know, looked at Jesus and go, thank you very, very much. Thank you for not coming to my house. Thank you for dilly-dallying and wasting your time and asking stupid questions like, who touched me when my daughter is dying? That's what I would have done. I'd have gotten angry. I would have said, you call yourself Messiah and Savior and Healer. You are a fraud and a phony. I don't believe any of it. I'm going to my house to mourn. I have nothing to do with you anymore. But that's not what he does, right? And I think this is a real example of faith. My weakness, I can understand how I'd feel, but that's not what Jairus does. What Jairus does is he looks Jesus right in the eye, and he just listens when Jesus says to him, you hear what he says? Jesus said, don't be afraid. Just believe, and she'll be healed. Wow. Don't be afraid. Just believe, and she'll be healed. And he isn't afraid, and he believes. And Jesus goes, and he heals her. He raises her from the dead. I mean, what kind of a God is this? What kind of a Jesus is this? And how do we understand the way he works? Because he doesn't work the way I work. I'm more like that border collie. He is the prophet and the Messiah. He is the living God. He does what God does. But I want to just touch on three things. I know you're going, what do you mean three things? We're like, aren't we halfway through yet by now? But so they're going to be three quick things. Now the 3 points start? No, they'll be quick. But I want you to understand these are important things. And I know that there's things that we're not going to get to yet today. But the first thing I want you to understand is that Jesus never drives an ambulance. He never drives the ambulance. He is never in a hurry. He doesn't care about time. He never, you know, puts on the hat and has the defibrillator and goes, okay, I got to save someone. Oh, it's clear. That's not Jesus, okay? That's the EMT, maybe. Jesus never drives an ambulance. He's never in a hurry. Even though you're afraid or you're full of fear, he doesn't panic, right? He never panics. He doesn't care about time. You and me, we care about time. We care about getting to point B and from point A as fast as we can, but Jesus has a whole different purpose than what we do. And maybe this is a hard message, but what we need to do, really, is we need to be patient, we need to be persistent, and we need to be prayerful. I know three, it just happened to be three P things, but be patient, you need to be prayerful, and we just need to be persistent. We got to trust in God. You know, Jesus isn't like Bruce Willis or Arnold Schwarzenegger, if I said his name right, who gets in there the last minute, and he's running, and the bombs and the bullets are going, and Jesus just saves the day at the last minute. If you think that's what Jesus is, you're way wrong. Like, that's not Jesus at all, because he's God, okay? He's not an actor, he's God, and he's not about to, you got to understand this, he's not about to save the day, he's already saved the day, okay? He's already conquered sin. He's not afraid of the things that you're afraid of. Listen, he's not defeated by death. He's already defeated her death, and he can raise her from the dead if he feels like it. Amen? Yeah. So, too many Christians, too many people are looking for Jesus to be a hero. He's not a hero. He's a Savior. That's a whole different thing. That's a whole different thing. He's a Savior. And he's already done this work. He's already poured out his blood. He's already taken care of this for you and for me. So you're never going to see Jesus panic. You might panic. You know, you might be afraid. He's not afraid. He wasn't worried about this little girl who was lying there. He wasn't afraid to raise her from the dead. Death did not defeat him. And you need to understand that today. We need to be persistent. We need to be prayerful. And you need to persevere. And that means you go, I'm sticking with this. I am sticking with this Jesus. I'm going to follow you. And whatever the outcome is, because honestly, sometimes the outcome isn't even as wonderful as it is in this story. Sometimes the outcome still is broken, or it's still hard, or it's still disappointing. But I have decided to follow Jesus, and I am going to persevere in this. That needs to be who we are. Amen? Yeah. Second thing. I have a phone just like that. I hope it's not mine. Second thing is, I'm just going to wait a sec, because I can't think when that thing's on. All right. All right. Maybe. Just give me a second here. Got to think of where the second thing was. Okay, the third thing. I'll get back to it. The third thing, or the second thing now, is that Jesus is way more interested in the journey than he is the destination. And you and I are really interested in the destination, right? We want to get there, is what I'm trying to say. We're really like that. We are all about going on a trip. Jesus is all about going on a journey. And you can ask the Israelites, the children of Israel, about that. Because when he decided to teach them a lesson, he went on a journey with them for 40 years, right? And I'd have been saying, well, can't we learn this lesson in like 6 months? And he said, no, this is a journey we're going to be on, and you're going to be in the desert for that long a period of time. We are interested in trips. We go on short trips. We go to the dentist. I got a trip to the dentist. I got a trip to the grocery store. I'm going on a trip to the gym. God, you need to know this today, he's not that interested in trips. He's a lot more interested in a journey, and he wants to hold your hand, and he wants to walk with you as you go along the journey. And we are so much like Jairus, where we're going, I got to get you, Jesus, to this point right here. And because, boy, I need you right here, right now, and you're going to fix this problem. You're going to take care of this. And even though Jesus does, and he shows us how gracious he is and that he's a healer, what you need to know is that he's looking way beyond point B. You understand? He's looking way beyond point B. It's not just, we want him to get right here. We think, well, that's going to solve all the problems. And Jesus goes, oh, no. I have actually, this is what Jesus would say, I have a whole other destination in mind for you that's so much more important than just even this one healing. Yes, this healing is important, and I know that it captivates everything, all your thoughts, all your energies, all about this. But I have something, I have a destination that is so much more important. It's something that's eternal. My real goal here is I want you to be with me forever and forever. My real goal here, the destination, if you want to talk about it, this is just one quick stop. And there's going to be, he knows, there's going to be another quick stop. There's going to be another quick stop. We're going to always need Jesus today. But he says, I got an eternal glory destination for you. And there's one thing that matters to Jesus, and that is that he's bringing you home with him, right? He wants you to come with him. He wants you to live with him forever and forever. He wants you to be free from sin. And we're interested, if we're honest, we're interested in a trip. We just want to take Jesus along for a trip. Jesus, come on, I got a trip for you. Why don't you follow me? Even though Jesus said that we should be following him, right? He has such a long-range plan, right? Because he's so good. And he's so gracious. And because he cares about all of us. The Bible says that he's really not willing to that any should perish. He didn't want anyone to perish. And sometimes we wonder why he doesn't do things the way we want him. Come on, snap, snap, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. And part of the reason is because he's going, I'm just taking my time here. And yeah, I am sauntering through the crowds, and I am acting like a tourist, but it's just so that I can touch people, and so I can save people, and so that I can bring them with me. You understand that? So it isn't about the destination. It's about the journey. And what that really means is that what Jesus is interested in is the relationship. He's saying, Don, I want to hold your hand, and I just want to walk with you. And by doing that, I want to get to know you, and I want you to know me. I want you to trust me, because that's what happens in the journey. When you journey with Jesus, you're trusting him, and you're knowing him, and we're learning obedience. Right, Rick? He says, that's what I want from you. I don't want to just rush like an ambulance driver from one little crisis to the next. I want you to walk with me. And I want you to realize that what you really need isn't just that miracle. Right now you think that's all you need, and once you get that solved, woo, you know. You need to understand, you need me for every breath. Every breath that you take, every step that you make, you need me, and I am there for you. And I want to walk with you on this journey. I'm your creator, I'm your maker, and I want you to know me, I want you to trust me. You understand that? It doesn't matter what the second point was. We're just going to forget that one. We'll get it another time. It shows you my mind is like a sieve. But it doesn't matter, because that's what, you know, we got to the point that I think Jesus really wants us to get to today, and that's his arms are open for you. And you shouldn't be afraid to touch him, or to be touched by him. Yes. That Jesus came to include you. He wants you to belong to him. And you're afraid of that. Maybe you're afraid of what that means. You're afraid of, maybe you think it's going to really have to change your life. I got to tell you, you don't need to change anything. If there's any changes that are going to happen, God will change. He'll do it for you. He will fill you with his spirit. Amen. He will. Amen. But that, it's such, all he really asks is, he just says, come to me. He doesn't say, get cleaned up first and then come to me. He says, no, just come to me. And if you come to me, my arms are open. And I will journey this journey with you, whatever that means. Through the highways and the byways, through the high mountain peaks and through the real gutters, I'll be there for you. How many of you know that's true? That is true. Yeah, it is true. Amen. It is a true statement. But that's where the faith comes in. The faith comes in where you need to make that step. I've had to do that in my life. Most of the people here have had to do that in their lives. And the reason, maybe you say, well, why? Why do I have to faith, period? Well, the reason for that is because God didn't want to build a whole bunch of robots. He just could program us. He could make us do all kinds of things. He didn't want robots. He wanted children. He says, you're going to be my children. And so there needs to be a decision of your will. And that decision is, I'm going to stand up. I'm going to follow you. He wants children, and that's who we are, right? And I just want to give you that opportunity today. And I know that some of you are struggling with this, and you're afraid to make that decision, or you're afraid to stand up. Honestly, I don't want to sound like a salesman. And I know sometimes preachers do that. They sound like a salesman, and they, you know, let's get the organ playing and get the syrupy music and all that stuff. Because the truth is, this isn't for sale. I can't sell this. This is a gift. It's not for sale. It is by grace that you've been saved. So I don't want to sell this. I'm not selling it. But I can offer it and say, here, this is what God offers. He says, you can belong to him today. All you need to do is just say, yeah, I want to belong. Yes, I believe in you. Right? Yeah. I believe in you, Jesus. I just want to follow you. Is there anyone here today? You know that's a message you need to hear today? And you know that that calling is God calling you. Because if there is, I want to pray for you. And I just want to be part of it. Like I said, it's not for sale. It's a gift. I see Annie standing. If you want to stand, anyone want to make that decision today and say, yeah, Jesus, I want you in my life. I'm going to give you a try. I'm going to put my faith into action. Lori, amen. Yeah, that's good. Amen. It's time, right? Just stay standing. It's time. It's really what we're saying here today. It's time to start living. You guys have been busy doing all kinds of other stuff. I know. It's time to start living. Amen. It's time to make that change. Yeah. Anyone else? Yeah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. I'm just going to pray before I ask you to come up. We're going to stand in a circle, but I just think we need to pray a sec here. And Lord, God, this has been, your word still speaks clearly even when I forget stuff. And you still get your message across, so I'm grateful for that, Lord. Lord, it takes a lot of courage to stand up. And I just pray for anyone who's here right now that is wondering about this. You're calling them out of this darkness, and they know that there's something missing in their lives, that they will have the courage to ask you to fill them with what that is, with you. Thank you, Jesus. And we just depend on you. We can't live this life all by ourselves. We need you. So today, Lord, there's some people that are going to make a decision for you and decide that they want to live for you and invite you into their lives. Lord, I just don't want it that anyone walks out of here today that because they're afraid or because they think they're not worthy. So Lord, just I pray that right now your spirit will give us the courage that we need. That you'll just speak it clearly into everyone's life, everyone's heart even right now. That you love them and that they need to, this is your word, don't be afraid. Just believe. Don't be afraid, just believe. I thank you that with you, we don't need to be afraid. So remove the fears from this room, remove the fears from our lives. We want to belong to you, God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Why don't you guys come to the front a sec? I know that's scary too, but I just want to pray for you individually. Well, if you just come on up, and if there's anyone else, there's no rules here. If you didn't stand up, you know, it's not like, oh, you didn't stand up, you can't come to the front. You can come. Come to Jesus. And while we're doing that, Matthew, will you play that video? Come on in here. Let's put our arms around each other. Thank you, God. And Tim and Barb, will you join me here? Amen. The song that we're going to play is a some of you think I never play Gaither music, but he touched me. And I just think about the words of this song and how it fits in. Lord Jesus, thank you for these followers. Thank you, Jesus. It's time for a new beginning in some of these lives. Amen? Right? So we just confess that the way we've been living is dead. It's been a way of death. And I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus and in the power of your Holy Spirit, that you're going to breathe new life into every single person here today. Thank you, God, that we can stand up. Thank you that you never reject us. You're a Father who loves us. Just touch us, God. In the name of Jesus, let your hand just touch our hearts. Thank you, God, that you include us. We're not on the fringes. We're not way off in the distance. We are in the center of your love circle. You love us. You love Lori and Rob. What's your name? Girl. Yeah. All of you. Okay, God loves you. You belong. Don't let anyone tell you you don't belong. You belong to Jesus. Tim, you want to pray?
Father, just want to thank you, Lord God.
Hallelujah. Jesus, it's time.
That Lord, that you invite us into a relationship with you, Father.
Mm-hmm.
So I just pray for each person standing here, Lord, that
Yeah.
Belong, and that we just have to give them our mistakes that we make. We just have to give them over to Him, and He takes them and cleanses them and gives us a new heart and a new spirit. So, Father, I just pray for each person here today that You'll just bless them, God, that You'll touch them right now in the service, and that, Father, You'll be the comforter and the friend. You're a friend. You're a good, the only friend that's much closer than a brother. So, Father, I just ask God for each person today that they would know Your presence.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Barb, you want to add something to that?
I want to thank You, God, for this wonderful group.
Yes, God. Yeah. That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, y'all say amen?
Amen.
Amen. I want you just to pray after me, okay? Let's pray together this prayer. Jesus, I belong to You.
I
turn my back on the old me and all the old life. And I'm going to follow You in faith. And I believe that You love me.
And
You include me. And I'm a forgiven sinner.
And I'm a
forgiven. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank You, Jesus. All right. Isn't that good? Thank You, Jesus. So I want you to remember something as we close here, but, and I know you're going back to your seats, that's okay, but just remember, the Bible says you're a new creation. The enemy's going to tell you that you're still that old piece of trash. You're not that old piece of trash. You are a new creation. And the courage that it took to stand up today before these people and before God, there's power in that. And it's so important that you just let that faith grow. Let it grow. And you can't grow it, but God will grow it in you. You got to keep coming here. And I don't know about you, but I got to hang around with good people, people who are following God. There's a choice that you make sometimes. You know, you got to keep coming, get in the Word. And if you don't have a Bible, we'll get you a Bible. It's time to start growing, you know, because if you don't, you'll fall right back into that same way. Some of you know that. You've already done this before. You don't want to go back to that vomit, which is what the Bible says, like a dog going back to its vomit. You have new life. You hear me? You've got new life today in Christ. He looks at you as someone who's forgiven. This is the best thing you can ever hear, that all this stuff, everything that you've ever done, it is taken care of at the cross. You are washed clean. You are brand new in Christ. Amen. And you belong here. You belong in the body of Christ. Amen. Thank You, Lord. All right. I know we're going to sing a song as we conclude, so maybe get some musicians up here. That's good. You know, the Bible says that when one person repents and turns to the Lord, there's 10,000 angels that rejoice. So I don't know how many are rejoicing right now, but it's something else. It's something else. We should be celebrating this. This doesn't happen all the time, right? Thank You, God. You know, I think we'll do that God, I Look to You song again. So, because this is what it's about, right? Let's stand up. Worship God. God, I look to You. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like You do. God, I look to You. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom to know just what You do. And I will love You, Lord, my strength.
My strength.
I will love You,
my shield.
I will love You, Lord, my rock, forever all my days. I will love You, God. I will love You, Lord. I will love You, Lord, my
my strength.
I will love you, Lord,
my shield.
I will love you, Lord, my rock. Forever all my days, I will love you, God. God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision.